You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Oh, a lot to get to on a Monday edition of the Gym Class post-Thanksgiving holiday weekend edition. Coming your way here on KGYM as we take it through the 3 o'clock hour here on the Gym Class program. Great to have you aboard. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, former sports editor of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Ben on the other side of the glass, and you, our listener out there, the most important component. Love to have you interact with us today. I imagine we will have quite a bit of interaction. 319-366-1600. That is the text line available to you. You can also pick up the phone, give us a call. That is also 319-366-1600. As we are presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union, learn how you can boost your financial well-being by going to DuPaco.com. A lot to digest from the weekend in the world of sports. Football, college football, a little bit of pro football, men's and women's basketball, coaching changes galore in the Big Ten West, and no more Big Ten ACC challenge anymore, as Mark joins me here on a beautiful Monday afternoon in Eastern Iowa. First of all, how are you? How was Thanksgiving?
It was terrific. Good afternoon to you and good afternoon to everyone. And it wasn't necessarily a traditional one, but it was in some respects, and thankful for that. I hope all of you out there had a wonderful holiday. Coming up on another one. Older I get, can't wait for them to be over. Am I Grinch or what?
Don't be a Scrooge, man. Oh, yeah. Hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving out there and a very safe one. And you're back with us on a Monday edition of the Gym Class here from the Circus Sports Iowa studios here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Yeah, Big Ten ACC Challenge is off after this year. Not a big surprise because the Big Ten is ending their contractual obligation with ESPN. So maybe somebody else will step up. I don't know if it's a Fox situation. Already have the Gavitt games. This opens up a spot as far. And keep in mind, USC and UCLA still on schedule to come to the Big Ten. So that will take, two more conference games will take away from one really good non-conference game. I guess you can look at it that way. And no, for all the folks out there, I was not picking up either UNI or Drake. Sorry to say. But, you know, you can almost trace the beginnings of that ACC Big Ten Challenge back to a game at the then Five Seasons Center way back. Al McGuire and Billy Packard coaching against one another. I can't remember what they called it, but that was a fun night of basketball.
It was a fun series, the Big Ten ACC Challenge, and I don't remember what that game was called either, but it was very popular. All-stars from the Big Ten and ACC, maybe across the country, I can't remember
for sure. No, it's Big Ten and ACC.
Yeah, but it's all related to TV, and maybe something will pop up, maybe not.
As everything is out there. 319-366-1600. Let's start things off with college football. As Iowa on Black Friday, seems like about 3 weeks ago, doesn't it, Mark? That's mm-hmm. the first thing. Of course, Iowa dropping the game against the Nebraska Cornhuskers. With it go the route to Indianapolis. And Iowa will now await their bowl assignment coming up next week. Next weekend, as the Hawkeyes fell to Nebraska 24-17. Your thoughts, welcome at 319-366-1600. I would like to say this on behalf of myself. First of all, Mark, that I said all through the year, I was concerned for Iowa-Nebraska week. And then after the Wisconsin and Minnesota wins, no matter how ugly they were wins. Nebraska losing and losing and losing, including a tough one to Wisconsin the prior week. I think I drank the Kool-Aid, man. And I said, oh, yeah, this is going to be easy. Oh. Back pocket. I was going to Indianapolis. Now, I'm not saying that I don't think the players did that, but man alive, that start was a start that I have not seen from a Kirk Ferentz coach football team in a long, long time, if ever. They just, Nebraska looked prepared to play. They wanted to send Mickey Joseph out with a victory. And Iowa just, for some reason, they were flatter than a pancake coming out.
To me, in the first half, it was the most uninspired, unprepared effort of the season for the Iowa Hawkeyes. Got down eventually 28-0, and it was Katie bar the door. Goes down as a one-score loss, but it was far from that. You know, you went into the game with some injuries, and then Spencer Petras gets knocked out. Cooper DeJean gets knocked out in the first couple minutes of the game, and it really exposed the defensive backfield because you were down to your second, third, fourth team defensive backs, and including a true freshman. You don't want to point fingers, but it is what it is. If he's the best man in, he got torched, and that's Hall. But the offensive line was at times okay in the running game, but I think the poster child of pictures that describes the offensive line play was Jack Plum blocking no one while a corner comes in and just buries the Iowa quarterback. I don't remember if it was Petras or Padilla at the time, but both of Iowa's quarterbacks fumbled away the ball. Arlen Bruce fumbled away a punt. It was just lack of concentration. I don't know what it was, but penalties. And Iowa did not deserve to win, did not even deserve to be in the game, pretty much. It was a valiant effort. But how can Kirk Ferentz say that he saw some good things in the offensive line?
That's a tough one. That's a little bit of a head-scratcher to me.
You know, you take away the sacks, and Iowa did rush for about 150 or so yards, 160, which I guess is acceptable. But the pass protection was just awful, and I don't know what to make of it. Nobody's, pointing towards George Barnett, the offensive line coach. Plenty of arrows being slung at Brian Ferentz, maybe justifiably so, but what about the offensive line coach? This team seemed to make some progress along those lines against Wisconsin and Minnesota. Not great strides, but some strides. But by and large, this season came down to the offensive line, and just not very good play.
319-366-1600 as thoughts are coming in now on the text line. If you'd like to pick up the phone line and give Ben a call, 319-366-1600. Trey Palmer still open around Kinnick Stadium, I think, at this time. But it was a tough day, certainly for Iowa. And I give Nebraska all the credit in the world. Like I said, I think they came out. I know they came out. They wanted to play for Mickey Joseph. They knew that was going to be his final game as the interim coach. Matt Rhule now, and we'll get to that coming up in just a little bit. He is going to be at the helm of Nebraska football. And interestingly enough, some of the things that have been said in Huskerland about Matt Rhule, crazy stuff right there. And, of course, the quarterback change necessitated by the injury to Spencer Petras, as Petras with a shoulder injury, arm injury, et cetera, on that first sack of the ball game, was kind of trying to work the arm out along the sideline, which is what 96-63 pointing out, swinging his arm then in a sling, too much turkey. If you can't throw, you can't throw. And if you can't get anything on the ball, You can't be out there.
No, I think 96-63 pointing out that once Petras went out, he was signaling in place. His arm was all over the place, up above his head.
Well, I don't think it was a broken bone or anything like that. I think it was just a shot. So,
but once he wore the red hat on the and the headsets on the sidelines, he was signaling play.
Yeah.
In place.
Yeah.
But a little bit later, he was in a sling. So, 78-30 on the text line, 74 yards of total offense in the first half against the 3-8 team is terrible. That's quite right. This is a Nebraska team that was allowing almost 400 yards total offense a game. And Iowa couldn't fire a shot, in the words of the great Hayden Fry. It just didn't fire a shot. And Padilla wasn't any better. And to Andy's point on the text line, Padilla's lack of reps in lower pressure situations finally came to bite the coaching staff. All season, I've wondered why he didn't get in the Nevada or Northwestern games. I can only conclude that there was fear he would look good in those situations and exacerbate the QB controversy. Andy and others, I've said all year, go back to week one. It doesn't matter who's behind center. It's the offensive line. And how do you expect Padilla to be a hero when he's operating behind the same offensive line? It's been true all year. Whether it's Petras, Padilla, Peyton Manning, whoever it may be. Don't tell me Cade McNamara is coming to Iowa, okay?
No, this morning was the Georgia Tech quarterback. It's coming to Iowa.
Cade McNamara, if you missed it, and it was on my scoreboard, but we'll let it out here. He is the Michigan quarterback, has entered the transfer portal after the emergence of J.J. McCarthy. For one thing, why would McNamara want to join a team that ranked 130th in the country in offense? In his original recruitment, according to 24/7 Sports, Rivals, whoever you may look at, McNamara selected one team and one team only out of the Nevada high school ranks, and that was Michigan. He was courted by many of the other top programs in the country. In the final list of considerations, Iowa was not one of them. And I don't know how much, if at all, Iowa recruited McNamara. But he was not even considering the Hawkeyes. The only other Big Ten team he considered was Wisconsin. Or at least Wisconsin was the only Big Ten team that expressed interest in McNamara besides Michigan. Could that change? Sure. But pump the brakes on that. Come on.
Like I said, this morning it was the Georgia Tech quarterback, the dual threat Georgia Tech quarterback that was going to be coming to Iowa City. And then McNamara went into the portal and boom. Now there was going to be Cade McNamara. 319-366-1600, 1156 on the text line. We came out throwing against the team that is 114th versus the run. Also, what QB in their right mind would want to come to Iowa? Reiterating your point. Hey, you know what? You can make it, you can do it one of two ways. You can look at it that way. You can also look at it, hey, I'm the quarterback that's going to come in here, take over this thing, and, you know, help things out, lead this team to better offensive play. I guess there's that side of the coin, too, to think about, right? Maybe.
Perhaps. 58-22, I thought Padilla looked a lot better. Very few missed thrown passes. He stepped up in the pocket and ran when he needed to. I thought it was an improvement. You watched a different game than I did, 58-22. Just saying.
All right. 319-366-1600, that is also our phone line as well. And let's bring in Darren from the southwest side of Cedar Rapids for this Monday post-Thanksgiving edition of the program. Hi, Darren.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. I wondered if I could solicit your opinion on who will be the quarterback next year.
Boy, that's the $64,000 question.
Who do you think it will be, Darren? Who do you think it will be, Darren?
Well, obviously, Mr. Padilla is probably the front runner. I don't know who is coming in behind that. I wish them well, whoever it may be.
Could be somebody that no one has any idea that is on the horizon yet.
It could be. It could very well be.
Now, that's not Iowa's MO. Keep that in mind. But, you know, after, as one of our texters letting us know, Iowa 130th and 131st in total offense. And people have been talking all along about Iowa trying to get into the transfer portal, getting into the 21st century, the way that college football is played now. And, you know, Kirk Ferentz has overhauled things before. Is he going to do it again? That remains to be seen. I have no idea, Darren, how to answer your question, who's going to be the quarterback, but Padilla's in there, and maybe unknown guy.
Joey Labus is on campus. Marcus Sanez, I think is how to pronounce it. He's coming in. But Kirk Ferentz, I do not think, is a guy that's going to go out to the portal and grab a quarterback. I could be totally wrong. But go ahead, Darren.
Like you said, that's just not the MO of the Hawkeyes. They, you know, shaking things up, yes, maybe, you know, to some degree, but something's going to have to happen this offseason that's probably a little bit more changes than we have endured or seen traditionally. Obviously, the wheels have really fallen off this year's guys.
Yeah. What do you think of a 7-5 record? Darren?
Well, you know, the way it started out, I think they're lucky to finish the way they did. You can't live on special teams and defensive play. Not when you're ranked 130 in offense. And the offense they weren't spectacular last year. Obviously, we went downhill to this year. But there's a trend forming there, possibly. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if the younger Ferentz has affected our recruiting, is reflecting our recruiting, and will continue to reflect it. But just don't like the way things are going there. And everything's going in the wrong direction. You know, not defensively-wise, the guys are fine. But on the other side of the ball, we got to make some changes.
Darren, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
319-366-1600. Few more texts to get to. How can Nebraska only rush three people most of the game and the quarterback still running for their life? Absolutely unacceptable O-line coaching and play. At what point do the Hawkeyes abandon the stubborn, that's not what we do mindset when it comes to the offense and the portal? We just talked about that. Matt, the Michigan fan. First of all, congratulations, Matt. What a performance. Jim Harbaugh absolutely outcoached Ryan Day.
Big time.
Big time.
Big time.
Michigan punched Ohio State in the mouth. And Ohio State, man, show some discipline, guys. Show some discipline. You don't need to go crazy. I'm pretty sure Michigan has proved you can still win the Big Ten by running the ball first. And, Caleb fit pretty well in that style of offense. But without the offensive line improving tremendously, I'm not sure that is going to matter.
Bingo.
Thank you. That's Marks. What about the UNI QB, Theo Day? Mark Garnowski says 14-24 from South Dakota State. I'm not sure why he would leave South Dakota State, first of all. They're number one. I mean, go to FCS from FBS, sure. But, you know, Lance and others have proven you can play at North Dakota State, South Dakota State, whatever, and still get into the National Football League. Josh Allen was from Wyoming, remember? Mm-hmm. That's not a Power 5 conference. And Cyclone Tim, you think you got problems? Our long snapper just about killed a referee with a hiked football.
Good thing the ref was where he was at.
Holy. Iowa State, oy, on Saturday. Now, TCU is really good. Really good. And a ton to play for. And in Purple Bowl 22, coming up on Saturday with Kansas State and TCU, they win that. They're going to be in the college football playoff. And if USC wins the Pac-12 championship, they're going to be in the college football playoff. That is pretty much all determined right there. Where is Iowa going to go? We can turn this thing on its earmark and ask with this 7-5 Iowa football team. Pretty much it's down to three bowls at this time. That would be Music City Bowl in Nashville, the Duke's Mayo Bowl, which you know everybody is hoping for because of the mayonnaise bath at the conclusion of it for the winning coach and how that's going to look. And then there are a lot of people speculating on the fact that Iowa could make a return trip to Yankee Stadium in the Bronx for the Pinstripe Bowl. Last there, first and only time, 2017, when Iowa took on A.J. Dillon and Boston College. Quite frankly, I told you this earlier today. I know one reason why Iowa would go to Nashville. And that's because of the fan following. But you put Iowa ahead of Illinois, basically, in the bowl pecking order. Illinois beat Iowa. Illinois has got a better record than Iowa. I'm kind of upset. That would be the latest Brett Bielema real big rampage if that happened, wouldn't it?
Perhaps. And friend of the show, Jerry Palm at CBS Sports, in his latest bowl projections, has Iowa going to said Music City Bowl and facing Ole Miss.
Oh, the Lane Train. Woo! They haven't been playing good football. They lost the Egg Bowl on Thursday night, which is always a fun game. Mm-hmm. I watched more of the Egg Bowl than I did the Vikings and the Patriots.
A little damp.
It was. Mm. It was, but it was fun. And Lane is staying. Hugh Freeze is going now to Auburn. We'll talk about the coaching carousel here in just a little bit. O-line transfer portal, says Sean from the bus trip here. All right. There's a lot more to get to. Men's and women's college basketball. We'll kick that around. We'll get the results of the Emil's Hideaway pick six for you here in just a little bit. But we need to get to, speaking of Emil's Hideaway, our good friends on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, right across from Lindale Mall, next to the Home Depot and behind Taco John's. We owe you, Mark does, an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. They're open at 4 o'clock each day, and you can find them online at emilshideaway.com. What do we have?
Iowa State Center.
Wrong one.
Iowa State Center. Stephanie Soares has been named the Big 12 Women's Basketball Player of the Week. And much anticipated matchup coming up with Iowa soon. And the matchup with Monica Zanano will be very interesting to watch. Four Iowa Hawkeyes have been invited to the Senior Bowl. Jack Campbell, Sam Laporta, Kayvon Merriweather, and Riley Moss. I know this saddens you, Scott. Tiger Woods has withdrawn from the Hero World Challenge coming up this week. He has a plantar fasciitis problem with his right foot. And I know this interests you as well. Finally, the Astros reportedly have signed Jose Abreu of the White Sox to a 3-year deal. Shall we just hand the Astros the league championship now and proceed, or what?
Well, the Sox signed Clevinger over the weekend. That was a good signing. Hey, a lot of people thought Abreu was going to be out anyway. White Sox got two first basemen. They got to get one. Abreu is kind of toward... Here's what's going to make me angry. I love Abreu, and just fantastic guy. Good clubhouse guy. Notorious slow starter. April and May always hits about 175, 180. You know he's going to Houston, and he's going to hit 325 for those 2 months. You know it's going to happen. And it's just going to turn my face red.
Mike Dillon Bundy Clevinger.
That's him.
Okay. he's okay.
That funny how when a player plays for your team, you're New York. All I got to do is change shirts, man. Yep. That's all I got to do. All right. Quick break. We'll come back. More football talk, and we'll get into basketball as well. It is a Monday edition of the Gym Class. Thanks for joining us. Do appreciate it. We are presented by DePaco Community Credit Union. Back with more after this.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast, and we'll have plenty of sunshine today. We'll be a little breezy at times with temperatures near 50 degrees. Later on tonight, clouds are going to be moving in. Temperatures will be held to the mid-30s, and then tomorrow we'll start off with clouds. Temperatures will rise into the 40s to near 50 degrees ahead of a cold front. That front will lead to some showers in the afternoon, changing over to snow as we head through the afternoon and evening. Little to no accumulation is expected. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
One of the things I love about betting on the NFL is that I'm always finding new player or game props that I like. And what's cool about FanDuel Sportsbook is that you can combine these props with other bets from the same game to score an even bigger payout. Perfect for tonight's game. The Steelers money line, Jonathan Taylor going over the rushing yards total, and George Pickens as an anytime touchdown score is an example of a same game parlay, but there are so many more options you can use. Same game parlay is just one of the reasons I bet with FanDuel. They have an easy to use app. It's easy to register, easy to deposit, and easy to find your bet. And they feature live betting. You can place a bet fast during a game if you see a trend that you like. Right now, new customers get $150 in free bets, win or lose, with promo code KUHN. That's promo code KUHN. Make every moment more this season with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in Iowa. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable. Free bets expire 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Just when it feels like smooth sailing, your IT person leaves and rocks your entire business boat.
Network overboard!
Now who's going to captain your IT ship? Network Computer Solutions. They're ready to hop on board and keep you on course. Whether you're a tiny rowboat or a giant ocean liner, Network Computer Solutions will keep your business cruising along with pricing options that won't make you feel anchored down. Network Computer Solutions is your IT safe harbor. Meet them now at ncsei.com.
Tune into the Gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
KGYM is an equal opportunity employer, and under FCC rules, any community organization that distributes information about employment opportunities or refers people to employers may ask to be notified about job vacancies at KGYM. If your organization would like notification of KGYM's job vacancies, contact Julie Hine. Email Julie at kzia.com or write her at 1110 26th Avenue Southwest, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, 52404.
And we are back here in the Gym Class here on KGYM. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, and Ben taking you through the 3 o'clock hour. And then it's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. Cyclone Coaches Show tonight, 6:30 until 8. I believe they transfer over to the basketball side of things starting this evening. And why not with the weekend that Iowa State had on the court? We'll get to that coming up in just a moment. Then we'll join Monday Night Football. Not the greatest one to come down the pike, Indianapolis and Pittsburgh. Colts remain on Sunday Night Football next week. There's only one reason why that game's on Sunday Night Football still. It has not been flexed, Mark, and it is not the Indianapolis Colts.
No.
They're playing the Cowboys. That will stay on Sunday night. As somebody texted me earlier, the Cowboys could play a youth team and it would still be on Sunday Night Football. 319-366-1600. Let's give you the results of the Emil's Hideaway pick six from last week. That is also brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. And you again, two in a row for Mark.
Two in a row. I was 4-2 this week and won the weekly version anyway of the pick six. Dave and Scott were both 3-3, and we're going to give Spencer a pass. He was under the weather. He went 1-5. Consequently, Scott has taken over the season-long lead with 35 wins. Dave and Spencer have 33, and I have 32. So still a tight race. The real winner, Tony from Anamosa, the winner of a $30 gift card to Emo's Hideaway. Enjoy it, Tony.
All right. Tony's the winner. We'll have another edition of the Emo's Hideaway Pick 6 Championship Edition.
It will be.
Coming up this weekend. Do you like that championship weekend? It's always interesting, certainly. 319-366-1600. As much as we talked about Iowa, we did touch upon Iowa State, the loss to TCU a little bit as well. 51-20, well, we heard from Cyclone Tim a little bit earlier on, 51-23. What do you think about the Matt Campbell to Cincinnati rumors? Matt Campbell is rumored to go everywhere. Now, since he is an Ohio guy, keep that in mind. I think Cincinnati is a program that could intrigue him, but I don't see Matt Campbell coaching against Iowa State in another Big 12 school, personally.
That is our poll question today at KGYMRadio.com. Brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement in Iowa City, Highway 1 West, is where Steve Anderson and his team set up shop. If you were Matt Campbell, would the Cincinnati job interest you at this point? Yes or no? Matt Campbell is not going to leave the Big 12 to go to the AAC, is he?
Well, they're going to the Big 12 next year.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Forgive me.
Yeah.
Forgive me. Yeah.
Big 12. Bound.
God, it's hard to keep track of.
I don't see it personally. I don't see it. With that being said, though, Mark, I will say the next year is a huge year for Iowa State football, isn't it? Everything that has been put forth by Matt Campbell, going to the Big 12 championship game, going to a New Year's Day bowl, and then last year having a season that was going to be anticipated the best in Iowa State football history, coming up short. This year, 4-8. A lot of questions as far as the offense and Ames is concerned as well. And it's a big year next year, in my opinion, for Iowa State football. What do you think?
I think so, too. And there's going to come a point where Matt Campbell may say, you know what, I've squeezed all I can out of this program. But this year was a down year, a lot of close games, and then it just unraveled against TCU. But I'll ask you, is Cincinnati a better job than Iowa State?
True. Good question. Iowa State's facilities have been improved in a big, big way. Matt Campbell's done a good job on the recruiting trail. I don't think there's any doubt about that. They've had some things go not their way on the football field. They've lost a ton of close games the last 2 years. I mean, this thing could be turned around and just as easily with a couple plays here or there. But the reality is Iowa State is 4-8 this year. And another season like that, and that's going to be rough. That is going to be rough.
Cincinnati 9-3 this year, and we know what new Wisconsin coach Luke Fickell did at Cincinnati, leading that program to the college football playoffs. So Cincinnati's in a good spot right now.
Very true. 319-366-1600 here at 338, and I'm going to shift things over to basketball. Is a great weekend for college hoops, for men's and women's college basketball. As I think especially on the women's side, even more than the men's side. And before we start talking hoops, though, we bring in our friend Bob Landis, kind enough to call us here today. He's not on the golf course. It's too. Although you could be today, Bob, here in Eastern Iowa. How you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. Thank you a lot. I'm not going to take very much of your time. I appreciate you guys, a great deal, as you know. But this weekend, and I don't know if I mentioned this to you or not, this weekend at Mount Vernon, we are having a reunion of the 1973 undefeated basketball team from Mount Vernon. And it's going to be at the at the halftime of the game down between Mount Vernon and I think they're playing Jefferson. But anyway, we got most of these kids coming back, and it's really going to be a special night.
That will be. And you have fun with all those guys, man. And, yeah.
Oh, I will.
It will be good.
We're going to be down at Sally's to eat some things the night before, and then the introductions and so on may take place the next night. But I just thought I'd share that with you.
Who's your big – was it Jeff Werling? Do I have a good enough memory there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Jeff was 6'9", Phil Ilette was 6'6". And then we had a kid by the name of that came to us from West Branch, who was Mark Kerr, and that was our front line. But the best, our most dependent guy was Hal Hufford. You guys probably know, passed away this summer.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. He was captain of the team and one of the great Huffords, as you know.
Not a good one.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. Haven't seen a lot of these guys since they walked out of high school. So.
Oh boy, wear name tags. Hey, have fun with that, Bob. Thanks, man.
Okay, guys. Thanks for everything.
You bet. The Hall of Fame coach, Bob Landis, there.
Undefeated team, I believe.
Yeah, and won the state championship over there. They're going to get together this week. Boys basketball starting tonight, by the way. And we've got Wash and Mount Pleasant on CRM Live Sports for you at 7:15 tonight, crmlivesports.com. Basketball this past weekend. I mean, where do you start? Holy cow. You had the Iowa State women doing what they did, just blistering Michigan State. Had North Carolina last night. Stephanie Suarez was terrific. I think Iowa State women can go to the Final Four easily. They have that much talent, and now they've got a big inside that is hard to stop. Now, they got to put the biscuit in the basket. Keep that in mind. But, boy, they are – that is a tough, tough basketball team.
They have the potential, and I texted you yesterday when you brought that up. I said, Final Four teams don't usually lose 17-point leads and lose by 9. Maybe that was an outlier. I don't know. Iowa State – is a very good women's basketball team, capable of going far. I can't wait for the matchup with Iowa. With Soares and Soares and Zanano inside.
That's going to be amazing.
It'll be a big test for both.
It will be. It will be. Yeah, Iowa State inexplicably had those turnovers at the end, just trying to inbound the ball, which... very uncharacteristic. If Iowa State shoots threes, I mean, this is a bold statement coming up, Mark. If Iowa State women shoot threes well, I don't think anyone beats them because you got to go out to guard the perimeter, and that leaves Suarez inside wide open. You can't stop 6'6". Worst you can do is foul and send her to the free throw line, and she's a good free throw shooter. Good pickup right there for Bill Fenley. So that's Iowa State women. They're still in the top 10. Iowa women still in the top 10 despite a loss to UConn yesterday on national TV. Both those games on national TV. Iowa-UConn on ABC at 12 noon yesterday. And Iowa played straight up with the UConn Huskies. Now, Paige Beckers is not playing for UConn. Don't cry for Gino Auriemma. They're still good. They got about 6 more 5 stars that are playing for UConn. But I was a little on trepidation there for Iowa going into that game because I thought UConn could get going and rolling and whatnot. Gino Auriemma had a lot of good things to say to Lisa Bluter after the ball game and about Iowa, but Hawks stayed in there and didn't really shoot it particularly well with Caitlin Clark yesterday.
They really did. Clark had to get 24 shots off to get 25 points. But Kate Martin had a terrific game for Iowa, and you're right, Iowa hung with UConn for much of the game, led by 11 in the second half, and then, God, it seemed like 30 seconds, Connecticut wiped out the lead.
Did UConn things.
They are so talented, so long. I don't think they missed a mid-range jumper the whole game. You know, they're going to be there at the end, but I thought Iowa belonged on the stage.
I would agree. I would agree. So I think a good, even with losses by Iowa and Iowa State in those championship games, I think a good weekend as far as women's basketball is concerned. And as 9049 says on the text line, Iowa State coach for life, Coach Otz, helped pulled out a big win with his defense-first style. Love the guy. Iowa State beats North Carolina, number one, then number one North Carolina. Now Houston has taken over, by the way, for the first time since some guy named Drexler and Hakeem Olajuwon were forming Phi Slamma Jamma in 1983 for the Houston Cougars. I digress, though. Iowa State knocks off North Carolina. Now, the defense was great. I wouldn't discount Caleb Grill and his performance, though, that night for Iowa State. They don't win that game if he doesn't score 31.
No, he's not going to go for 31 night in and night out. But it was a victory over number one ranked team. North Carolina did lose another one in that tournament. But when you beat Villanova in North Carolina and then drop your last game, that's a pretty good tournament for Iowa State. And
Villanova struggling.
Yeah.
3-5, I want to say, Villanova is right now. That's maybe there was a reason Jay Wright got out of there.
Could be.
Yeah, I saw the writing on the wall, perhaps. But
this is a better Iowa State men's team than I expected.
And if they can shoot it from perimeter, and we'll talk to Kevin Lehman coming up on Thursday. Can't wait for that because it's we got a lot to cover with the coach, but it always comes down. Iowa State's going to play defense. They played very good defense all through that tournament in Portland. I think they ran out of steam a little bit. I mean, that you exude a lot of energy when you're playing defense like that. And three games in 4 days is going to take a toll. And UConn's good. I think UConn's very underrated for Danny Hurley at this point. But Iowa State, I think, can play with anybody in the country. As now, can they keep it up from the outside? Can they have Kalischer? One out of three games, Kalischer scored, basically. Grill helped him out against North Carolina. Harris has been good so far, probably the most consistent guy.
Coons has been okay.
Yeah, they've got shot blocking on the interior. Taman Lipsy's getting better and better each game. Not scoring right now, but hit some big free throws in the North Carolina win.
He did.
And Lipsy's going to be fine. He's going to be fine. He's got a college D1 body and physique on him. And yeah, don't worry about Iowa State. Iowa, one out of two down in Florida at the Emerald Coast Classic. A good win over a very stubborn Clemson team, I thought, on Friday night. It wasn't easy, but Iowa did what they had to do. Good game from Tony Perkins in that one. And then I think Iowa got a little... Saturday, they lost. I think it might not be a bad thing in the end, because Iowa was shown things they have to improve on. Have to get a little bit more physical. TCU muscled up on Iowa, and they bothered them a little bit. Iowa did not shoot the ball well as a result of that. Patrick McCaffrey did not score. Chris Murray did not have a great tournament out there. And it's not a bad thing to play good competition early in the year for both Iowa and Iowa State. And really, you can say that for all of college basketball. It is great to see these tournaments, and if you lose a game here or there, it's not a big deal. And I love it. I think it's fantastic.
TC is a really good defensive team. You mentioned getting really physical, but by and large, it had a good game plan against Iowa, and the Hawkeyes couldn't answer, didn't shoot it well, and... one of those games. We'll see what it learned going into the Georgia Tech game tomorrow night. But you've liked Houston all along.
I love Houston. I'm not a big
Purdue?
Kelvin Sampson fan.
What about Purdue?
Purdue was the big winner of the weekend. How about Purdue knocking off two huge rated teams? They got Duke, and then they came back and got another win last night to win that particular tournament. They're number five in the country now. They woke up this morning as the number five team. How about that? Gonzaga finally got a win. Gonzaga's down to, they were, what, preseason number one? They're down to number 14 now after a couple of losses. But tell you what, hats off to the Purdue Boilermakers as they get Duke and beat them 75-56. 20-point win over the Blue Devils, who have also lost two games now early in the year.
Yeah, some folks think Purdue ought to be the number one team in the country. Hard to argue against
Zach Edey,
Houston, but yeah, Zach Edey is a big problem. I mean, Purdue beat Gonzaga by 18 and then knocked off Duke by 19.
21.
Or 19.
19?
Yeah.
It was around 20.
But, I mean, that's, they waxed West Virginia prior to that, beat a good Marquette team. They're going to be a problem.
They are. They are going to be a problem. Big Ten ACC Challenge starting tonight. Iowa will take on Georgia Tech tomorrow night at 8 o'clock at Carver-Hawkeye Arena in Iowa City. Going to take a break. We'll come back. We got a couple of texts to get to here at 319-366-1600. Talk a little bit about the NFL and more before we sign off for this Monday. So stay with us. More to come after this on KGYM.
I need to get serious about my health and work on lowering my cholesterol.
I want to focus on my mental health and overall health, too. But who can watch my kids?
Join the MAC now and pay no dues until 2023.
Get access to daycare,
a women's-only workout area,
recovery massage room,
24/7 facilities, and more.
Plus, with over $1 million in updates,
there's a basketball and racquetball court,
lap pool,
and a hot tub.
Sign up now at jointhe-mac.com and pay no dues until 2023.
The MAC, a place for everybody.
It's here, the Menards Black Friday Sale.
And we've got the perfect present for your loved ones. Stay cozy this winter with some great deals. Keep your feet warm with women's Mucklock boots for only $19.99. After a long day, relax in a heat and massage rocker recliner. It's only $299.99 after sale price and mail-in rebate. Menards Black Friday deals are good through December 4th while supplies last. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Back with you on the Gym Class on KGYM as we rejoin you here for a Monday edition of the show. John Bonacamp is going to join us coming up tomorrow. And always good to catch up with John. He'll be on his way to Carver-Hawkeye Arena, I'm sure, for Iowa and Georgia Tech. He does everything from preps to Western Illinois to Iowa to AP stuff. He is the Swiss Army knife of media here in this area.
To baseball as well.
Well, Dodgers got Verlander apparently ready to sign. So, yeah, his Dodgers are going to be okay. They will be okay here. Couple of texts want to get to. 5418, we will mention this. He said, I don't know if this was discussed, but a great display of sportsmanship between Matt Campbell and Max Duggan following the game on Saturday. Very gracious to a guy who he really recruited hard and just beat the Cyclones badly. I would agree with him. You got to shake his hand after that performance.
Yeah, not surprising at all. And Duggan had not beaten Iowa State. And, sometimes you just tip your hat to the other guy and go on from there. But, yeah, a great gesture, I think. And not surprising to me.
92-81, reflecting on the Iowa football regular season, it might be summed up by this lyric from the Grateful Dead. Lately occurs to me what a long, strange trip it's been. This was the strangest, maybe not the longest, but the strangest season of Iowa football I have ever witnessed.
Not a big Dead fan, but that sums it up perfectly, I think.
In 64-29, we're talking about Iowa State, maybe at a crossroads for Matt Campbell going into next year. We have seen this before, they say, with McCarney and Rhodes. ISU gets to a certain point, then things fall apart quickly. Could Campbell be at that point? Well, I think next year's a big year for Iowa State football. Big, big year. Starts the season with UNI, by the way, next year at Jack Trice Stadium. Hey, speaking of next year, how about coaching changes? In fact, Wisconsin here, I believe, either at 4 or 5 o'clock, is going to have their introductory news conference to bring Luke Fickle aboard. And, boy, that escalated quickly yesterday, didn't
It did indeed, and Matt Rhule at Nebraska had his introductory press conference today, media conference. But Luke Fickell, I guess I reflected a little bit about this, and it's not surprising when you sit back and think about it. Fickell had a terrific run at Cincinnati. Has been a hot commodity before. But gosh, I feel bad for Jim Leonard. Lifer at Wisconsin. He was good enough.
Turn their back on him.
Good enough to take the interim role when Paul Chris got canned. Does loyalty matter anymore? I'm not so sure in college sports.
Well, Jim Leonard's going to turn up as either a head coach soon.
I know. Ference has it. Okay.
He'll be a defensive coordinator at the very least somewhere at a very high-profile school next year.
Yeah.
So don't feel bad for Jim Leonard. But, yeah, like you said, I mean, this guy, walk-on at Wisconsin, I mean, bleeds Wisconsin blood, and everyone thought it was going to be Jim Leonard before they even played Minnesota to be named the permanent coach. And here comes Luke Fickell. Matt Rhule goes to Nebraska. Mark, two good hires right there. Two good hires for the Big Ten West.
I think so. I mean, Matt Rhule turned around Temple quickly, turned around Baylor quickly, fell out. In the NFL.
And I give him a pass for the NFL. Nick Saban didn't do well in the NFL,
yeah,
folks. You're a college coach. You're a college coach. You're an NFL guy. You're an NFL guy.
We'll see.
And 98-43 here next to Jack Campbell. Petras got the loudest cheer on senior day on Saturday, and I didn't hear one boo. Nice work, Hawk fans. I would agree. And Dwayne asks, can Iowa pull in a big name hire, in your opinion, when Kirk retires? Well, if the first $64,000 question is who's going to be quarterback next year, that is the down-the-line $64,000 question. Am I wrong about that?
I think Kirk's contract goes through 2029, does it not?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. And, you know, I don't think it takes a real mathematical genius to figure out what Kirk and Iowa would like to do. It's just a matter if that's going to be doable in the near future.
All I'll say is it could have been a whole lot worse this year than 7-5. Your team is 7-5 going to a bowl when in October it didn't seem very likely.
No. No. And unless it's New York, it'll be a warmer destination.
Apparently.
John Bonacamp will join us coming up tomorrow. Looking forward to talking to John as we will talk football and basketball with him coming up on the program tomorrow. And thanks for the interaction and discussion, everybody. Do appreciate it. More to come with Todd and Alex next from 4 until 6 right here on KGYM. And then we've got the Cyclone Coaches Show tonight from 6:30 until 8. We'll join up with Monday Night Football with Pittsburgh and Indy at that particular time. And we'll reconvene tomorrow at 3 o'clock here for another edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. Have a good night, Mark.
You as well. Talk to you tomorrow.
All right. You've been listening to the Gym Class right here on KGYM.
Nobody protects you from mayhem like Allstate. I'm your friend's lucky jersey that's never been washed, and I'm stanking up the back seat, overpowering all of your senses, so you don't see the brake lights up ahead. And if you have